Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Dick Morris, political consultant. You see him on Fox News and across the media. He's the author of the brand new bestseller, Fleeced. And what an interesting book, and what an honor to have Dick Morris on the show. Dick, welcome to Bob Enyart Live.
Well, thanks very much. I really enjoy being here with you.
Thank you. Could we talk about some of the particulars in your book?
Sure. Well, first, the subtitle.
Please.
It's how Barack Obama, the media mockery of terrorist threats, always saying that it's not serious when in fact it really is.
Right.
The liberal attempts to muzzle talk radio, which includes this show, the do-nothing Congress, nuclear weapons, and we had a big breakthrough on that today, I'll tell you that.
All right.
And do-nothing Congress and foreign lobbyists just scamming us and what to do about it. Let me just tell you about the Iran situation. There was a tremendous breakthrough today. There are a whole list of companies that sponsor terrorism in the not terrorism in Iran, but they help Iran develop and really fuels its nuclear ambitions.
Right, exactly.
And in the book, we list the companies that are involved in that.
And not only Dick, they also support Syria, North Korea, the Sudan. You list it all.
That's right. And we list the 12 companies that are the worst. And one of the ones we list is Total, the French company that was to be involved with Iran in developing their largest gas fields. And today, Total announced that it is not going to proceed with that.
Well, that is
to the Iranian government.
Yeah, that is great news. And it could be in part, Dick Morris, because of the influence, the pressure from your book. The Jerusalem Post today, of course, announced that Israeli war jets have been over Iraqi airspace. And that's a pretty wild story.
But of course, this economic pressure is designed to avoid a military attack.
Mm-hmm.
And it would really, you know, if Israel attacks Iran, yeah, they can retard them for two or three years in developing a bomb. But in the process, they will give that regime tremendous support at home.
Yes.
Because there'll be ancillary deaths, and they'll put a daycare center on top of the nuclear facility, and they'll say, oh, they killed these children.
Right, exactly.
And all that. But the economic pressure, which denies Iran the ability to get at its oil. Iran is sitting on top of the second largest oil reserves in the world. Mm. But they can't get at it because they don't have the capital. Mm. And as a result, their oil production is dropping. Their domestic demand is rising at 10% a year. And it's estimated that in 2 years, Iran will have to cut in half its oil exports.
Mm.
And by 14, they'll export no oil at all.
To meet its own domestic need.
That's right. And this withdrawal by Total is a huge blow to the Ayatollah.
Well, that's great. And Dick Morris, I'd like to chalk that up in part to the media pressure brought about by your book, Fleece. Can I ask you about this? You write about the media in this country when the U.S. disrupts a terror plot. Our media dismisses it. What kind of rationale would lead them to downplay our successes against terrorists?
Well, in the context of the political party battle in the United States, and they're worried that everybody focusing on terrorism, correctly appreciating the dangers we face, could get them to vote Republican.
Right.
They feel that that Bush stole the election in 2000 and scared people out of their minds in 2004,
mm-hmm.
and they feel that that was both illegitimate. So, for example, there was a plot to destroy the Brooklyn Bridge in New York, and they found out about the plot because of a warrantless wiretap, which Obama wants to make illegal.
Mm.
And apparently, the words "Brooklyn Bridge" kept being repeated, and nobody doesn't translate well into Arabic, it appears.
Right.
And they were able to, the National Security Administration said, what are all these mentions of Brooklyn Bridge? Now, they couldn't have gotten a warrant because what are they going to say? Let me see if there are mentions of Brooklyn Bridge. They weren't anticipating that.
Right, right.
They told the New York City Police Department about it. And the police commissioner ordered a study of how you would knock down the bridge. And they said there is a way to do it. You could get a really good acetylene torch and settle into this room underneath the bridge where nobody would see you or hear you, and you could work undisturbed for weeks or months and knock down this bridge. And then he flooded the bridge with cops. A few weeks later, we intercepted somebody saying it's too hot on the Brooklyn Bridge.
Wow.
And then when Khalid Mohammed was captured, the 9/11 mastermind.
Yeah, the bad hair guy.
And interrogated, and maybe he got wet in that interrogation.
Right.
We found out the name of the guy who was planning to blow up, to attack the bridge.
Oh, my.
And we arrested him, and we found in his apartment the equipment and the engineering diagram that correctly explained how to do it. Now, the media said this was a far-fetched plot to knock down the Brooklyn Bridge with an acetylene torch. How stupid. It couldn't possibly have happened. It couldn't possibly have worked. But that's not true. It really could have and would have probably killed three times as many people as 9/11 because during rush hour you have 10,000 people on that bridge.
Oh, my. Hey, Dick Morris, my wife Cheryl and I just enjoyed our second honeymoon in Manhattan. And we walked across the Brooklyn Bridge. What a beautiful icon of American freedom.
It really is.
And what a great story. Well, why is it you write about America's mainstream media refusing to even refer to Islamic terrorists or Muslim terrorists? I guess the motive is the same. They don't want people voting Republican, so they twist the news.
This is just hysterical. We found the guidelines for diversity of the American Society of Professional Journalists.
They're reprinted in your book. Fabulous,
right.
Fabulous.
And they say, we reprinted it in whole, they say, do not use the phrase Islamic terrorist because it links a religion to criminal activity. Instead, use geographic, socioeconomic, or other or political designations rather than religion to describe them. So we've got to call them ultra-right-wing, lower-middle-class Afghani tribesmen.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so nobody knows who we're talking about. What a tragedy. And so it's one thing to support a political party. It's another thing to bias the news reporting and to mask the enemy that we're fighting.
That's right. But one of the key things we do in this book is to lay out in the first chapter what Barack Obama is for, what his agenda is. And one of the big things that we talk about is that he is planning to cover all illegal immigrants with health insurance. Now, I favor, actually, his plans for universal health insurance. I think it's important. But I think you should limit it to American citizens and legal immigrants. To offer free federally subsidized health insurance to 15 million illegal immigrants, first of all, will cost a lot of money. Secondly, it will reward criminal behavior. But most important of all, if you got all of those folks going to the OR and ER rooms in Denver or to doctor's offices, they would just become swamped. And eventually they would have to resort to rationing because they wouldn't double the number of doctors. And the rationing would be a government system just like it is in Canada, where they say, no, I'm sorry, Mr. Colorado resident and American citizen. We know that you're 78 and you need a bypass surgery, but you have high blood pressure and you're overweight and you're diabetic and you're 78. We're going to give the OR time instead to this illegal immigrant who's 32, who's got his whole life ahead of him. And he is making no plans to expand the healthcare system to accommodate the increased demand. No extra doctors, no extra hospitals, just 50 million more patients.
Yeah, and Dick Morris, we're thrilled you're exposing that corrupt plan from Barack Obama, and I don't want to debate it with you, but here at Bob and Yurt Live, we're very much against any kind of national health care to cover everyone or anyone. But let's not debate that. It's worthwhile to expose Barack Obama wanting to give health insurance to all illegal aliens. It's
right.
It's a fundamentally
corrupt. I want to give you another example from that chapter.
Yeah.
Right now, under the Patriot Act, when we find a group that we think might be subversive or, a terrorist organization, we can investigate them secretly for 6 months. Wiretap them, see who their funding sources are, infiltrate them with agents undercover planning to do and stop them from doing it.
Right.
Obama introduced legislation at the end of 2006 that lost, but a lot of Democrats voted for it, that said you would have to notify the group within 7 days.
Oh, brother.
So it's like, dear terrorist, we're wiretapping you. Love and kisses, your friends at the Homeland Security.
Right, exactly. There's a pretend effort here to placate those who really, I think, despise America because of at least our appearance of being a Judeo-Christian culture. They hate that so much that they're willing to bend over backwards, even to the aid and comfort of Islamic terrorists.
I don't think it's primarily Judeo-Christian. I don't think it's Islam against Christian. I think it's we don't treat women like cattle, that we allow freedom of religion in the country, that we're a democracy, that we're free. They just can't stand that. Mm-hmm. The whole premise of their theocracy is the most vicious and brutal kind of regulation. By the way, while we're on that subject, one of the chapters we talk about is foreign lobbyists. Let me tell you this horrific story. The emir of Dubai, who's head of Dubai, which is now trying to rehabilitate its image, for decades has had camel races, like the Kentucky Derby, and he's gotten camel jockeys to ride the animals. And these are young children, 11 and 12 years old, who are deliberately kept malnourished and uneducated so that they don't weigh down the camels. And they get these kids by kidnapping them from countries around the world. Literally, mainly Pakistan and India, they literally go and kidnap a one-year-old kid. The parents of these poor children brought a class action suit in the United States, with the only place they could find justice, where the emir has significant assets. And they served him while he was buying racehorses in Kentucky. The emir then hired a whole bunch of top-level American lobbying firms, including firms directly related to the Clintons. One firm called Glover Park, which is owned by Joe Lockhart, who was Bill's press secretary, and Howard Wolfson, who was Hillary's press secretary. The State Department, to get the State Department to write a letter to the court asking it to drop the case on the grounds of national security. And the Bush White House, you have Republicans as well as Democrats involved in this horrific corruption.
Right.
Probably you had a whole lot of people who want to go to work for that lobbying firm as soon as Bush is out of office and make a lot of money. And they sent a letter to the court asking for the case, and 3 months ago it was.
Oh, my.
They were paid $2.1 million to lobby on this issue.
Wow. Hey, Dick Morris, I think you might recall the, speaking of foreign influence, the British citizen Elton John, who headlined a Hillary Clinton fundraiser in apparent violation of FEC regulations. You can't have foreigners help raise money to influence American politics.
Well, it's interesting that you raise that. One of the loopholes in the campaign finance law is that you do not have to name any donors whose donations are less than $100.
Right.
And Obama had, or I think 200 actually, and Obama disclosed the other day that he has 1.7 million donors who contributed less than $200, an amazing number.
Yeah.
When you reflect on the fact that as recently as 1996, only 95 million people voted in the election, you literally have 2% of that turnout actually giving him money. But many people have raised questions about who those donors are and have wondered if that might not be some very extensive foreign money coming into the campaign that would go unreported because of that loophole in the law.
Well, that could be. By the way, the day that story broke, a pro-life group, American Right to Life, hired an attorney out in Denver and filed a complaint with the FEC against Hillary. But thank you for reporting that. If 2% of the actual turnout has given money to Obama, that means, assuming half are Democrats, they're getting almost 5% that are actually donating. I mean, that is extraordinary.
It's the most amazing. Actually, it's a very constructive development. It really is campaign finance reform in practice, not as a law, but in practice, because it really means that the influence of special interest and wealthy campaign contributors is vastly diminished, and that we truly have become a participatory democracy financially as well as politically.
Dick Morris.
They just gave to the wrong side.
Dick Morris, and thank you for that. Author of Fleece. Dick, we have only a couple minutes left, real quickly. In your book, you cover that the U.S. has released over 400 terrorists from Guantanamo, and that is backfiring on us.
Yep. We not only release them, we fly them to their country of origin, in most cases Afghanistan, and then we release them. And we have now documented that 50 of these 420 young men got off the plane, went to the Taliban, and took up arms to continue fighting against the United States. And the way we know that is we've either killed them, wounded them, or recaptured them. And DNA evidence indicates that they are the people who we had under lock and key in Guantanamo, but let them go because the liberals and the courts forced us to do it.
So we have now a catch-and-release program for terrorists. That's what we've got going.
Well, very much.
Yeah, what
very
a tragedy. Much. And the last thing is the threat to talk radio. Of course, you mentioned at the beginning of our interview, Bob and Yurt Live, we've been on the air for 17 years. This country used to have something called the Fairness Doctrine back in the 60s, and it ended, you recount the history, during the Reagan term, 1987, I think it ended. But there are many people who want to bring it back because 10 to 1 talk radio hosts are conservative or Christian-leaning, right, like here at Bob and Yurt Live. We have a Judeo-Christian worldview. The liberals want to bring back the Fairness Doctrine. What would that do to Bob and Yurt Live?
The issue in the Fairness Doctrine is not merely that it would afford liberals an opportunity to be heard, which is fine. It's that look, I make a lot of money when I put Sean Hannity on for 3 hours. But if I have to put Al Franken on for 3 hours to offset the Hannity,
right,
broke. And that means that I've got to take a huge loss for 3 hours,
right,
in order to get the gain from Hannity.
Yeah, Air America is virtually broke. Is that true?
Exactly. Well, they filed for bankruptcy. Hmm. And what that basically means is that many, many stations are going to say, hey, I don't want to get into this. I don't want to see my revenues and profits cut like that. I'm going to play music all day. I'm not going to have talk radio. And then there is another thing. We've uncovered, and we print in our book, memos from the George Soros media organizations that show that they are planning to enforce a provision in the FCC law that says that radio stations must have community representation in their ownership and management. And what that means is that they're going to take liberals from Denver and insist that they be on your station's board or program director. And they'll not only limit talk radio, they may even hijack it. Mm-hmm. And by the way, while I'm on the air, I just want to say one last thing.
Yeah.
There is a critically important Senate race going on in Colorado. And Udall, the ultra-liberal Democratic candidate, is well ahead.
Mark Udall.
And we really, really need the Republicans to rally round and become active. Obama can't pass this radical agenda if he doesn't pick up a lot of seats.
Hey, Dick Morris, you know what? You might be able to help Bob Schaefer win this election. And let me give you a political insight as to why. His campaign manager in Virginia, Dick Wadhams,
yes,
kept his Republican candidate for re-election at arm's length from their marriage amendment, and the U.S. Senate candidate lost by just a few thousand votes, whereas the marriage amendment, the pro-family marriage amendment, won by over 300,000 vote margin.
Here, Dick Wadhams is from Colorado, actually.
Yeah, and now here in Colorado, he's the campaign manager for Bob Schaefer, and he is keeping Schaefer away from this massively popular personhood amendment. For the first time in 40 years, 131,000 pro-life voters signed the petition to get this on the ballot. It's on the ballot. And
I
Dick
just got
Wadhams,
your email about that.
Yeah, and Dick Wadhams has Bob Schaefer staying at arm's length and so far has not endorsed the personhood amendment. Maybe one call from Dick Morris could convince Schaefer to endorse this because it's right. And we are driving 100,000 extra voters to the polls in November for the personhood amendment.
I think you're absolutely right. I think it's very important. It's very important when you're running against the left on certain issues, not to just try to mimic them, but to try to stimulate turnout of your own people, your own point of view. Now, there are some issues where I do believe that it makes sense to triangulate, the phrase I used to use. But something as fundamental involving moral values as this is not the place to do it. And I think that Schaefer should get behind this aggressively.
Well, I appreciate that, Dick Morrison. Of course, in Virginia, you had the famous Makaka incident. But even with that, to leave 300,000 votes on the table in keeping a marriage amendment at arm's length was, I think, a mistake for the conservative pro-family Republican candidate.
I think you're right.
So, hey, Dick Morris, what an honor to talk to you again.
Well,
thanks.
Thank you. Good talking to you.
Thanks for joining us.
And
on
I'm
Bob
so sorry about the death in your family.
Oh, thank you very much, Dick. God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Again, an enjoyable interview with Dick Morris. And it would be a thrill if he makes that phone call, actually. He could get through to Bob Schaefer. He could make the tie-in to what happened in Virginia with George Allen losing that U.S. Senate race. And he was up for re-election. He's up for re-election. He's the Republican. And in fact, there's a brilliant write-up on this online, and it might be on Colorado Right to Life's website. I think it is. I could email that write-up to Dick Morris. I think he'd be fascinated. Because some of these guys, you know, these political operatives, they get all excited if you have some political insight. A political insight. Of course, Dick Morris for 20 years helped the Clintons get into the White House, and he has repented of that. He had his own horrendous scandal, his personal scandal with immorality, real embarrassing. And to his credit, he says that through that, sort of like the Chuck Colson effect. Chuck Colson was one of the Nixon hatchet men with Watergate. And through that scandal, Chuck Colson came to trust in Jesus Christ, had a personal conversion experience to Christianity, and has, you know, lived to write about it and bring a lot of other people to the Lord. Well, Dick Morris has not been as open or public, not wanting to make a public show and act like, well, yeah, I blew it, but now look at my jailhouse conversion, so to speak. So he's been a bit more private and sober-minded about his conversion. And you noticed in the interview he said that he, you know, he advocates health care for all Americans. Well, we very much oppose that, but I told him I didn't want to debate that on this show. We'd rather get through the highlights of his book. And then at the very end, so you have Dick Morris, the political consultant extraordinaire, thinking through, wow, George Allen did lose his re-election bid, U.S. Senate re-election campaign of Republican George Allen in Virginia. We're not talking about Massachusetts or Oregon. We're talking about Virginia. And, you know, sort of the northern buckle of the Bible Belt, Virginia. And that's the home of, what, Pat Robertson and Jerry Falwell. Is that right? And, you know, so many conservative Christian ministries, thousands upon thousands of churches. And we have George Allen running for re-election. And on the ballot, there is a marriage amendment. And so Dick Wadhams, George Allen's campaign manager, who, by the way, Wadhams is now the chairman of the Colorado Republican Party, and he is Bob Schaefer's campaign manager. Schaefer's running for U.S. Senate against Mark Udall. And so in Virginia, George Allen, of course, he's running for Republican U.S. Senate, so we can't oppose the marriage amendment. So he supports the marriage amendment, but at arm's length. And a week before the election, we've got a quote out of the Roanoke Times that George Allen, the Republican, is going to all these marriage amendment events to make sure the public knows he's supporting the marriage amendment. Well, isn't that about 5 months too late? Sure, he gave it tacit, you know, support previously, just lip service, but now he's in trouble with the voters in Virginia, even though he's the incumbent with all that advantage, and he's blown it with a racist comment, a macaca comment to the only black-skinned Democrat in the audience that he was speaking to at some campaign stop, and that blew up against him, and Dick Wadhams was extremely callous in that. I mean, your candidate makes a comment to the only black-skinned guy in the room, referring to him with a macaca comment, which is like a monkey kind of comment, because the guy is a liberal and opposes George Allen, and it blows up, and Dick Wadhams doesn't have the humility to apologize and have his candidate apologize from the depth of his heart. What an absurd comment. And they take it in a cavalier way. And so at any rate, George Allen goes on to defeat just at the margin. He loses by a few thousand votes, whereas the marriage amendment wins by a third of a million votes. And Dick Wadhams has his candidate for U.S. Senate keep an arm's distance from the marriage amendment in Virginia, which won handily. So they basically left a third of a million votes on the table. These are people who wanted to support those who understand the Judeo-Christian foundation of this country and morality issues like the personhood of the unborn and marriage between one man and one woman. Could you imagine keeping that at arm's distance, a marriage amendment? It's like when George W. Bush ran for president and the Boy Scouts, of all people, the Boy Scouts are being body slammed by the homosexuals. Major attacks against the Boy Scouts by the homosexuals, saying they can't rent places they had rented for 40 years. They can't rent because they don't have homosexual scoutmasters. And we have the Republicans in fear of the homosexuals, afraid in a campaign season for president to stand up for the Boy Scouts, of all things. That's the kind of fear that the anti-Christian lobby and media have put into the hearts of Republican operatives. So I'm thankful that Dick Morris agreed that it is it's absurd. Sometimes, of course, you got to be wise. And he used the word triangulate. What is that, a synonym for compromise? I don't know. He used the word triangulate. Sounds like a euphemism to me. But you got to be wise, and you can't fight every battle at every moment. But when you have something as fundamental as personhood, and Bob Schaefer, Republican U.S. Senate candidate Bob Schaefer, his whole political career, he's on the record supporting personhood from the moment of fertilization. That's his position for his whole career. Now that he has the opportunity to stand for that in reality, not just lip service when it didn't matter, but actually now that it's on the ballot in November and Bob Schaefer refuses to endorse personhood. Come on, are you kidding me? So I'm going to ask my producer to email Dick Morris the write-up at Colorado Right to Life's website of how Dick Wadhams caused not only the loss of a U.S. Senate candidate, Republican in Virginia, but that tipped the entire U.S. Senate over to the Democrats. So the Democrats got control of the U.S. Senate because of Dick Wadhams, who's now the chair of the Colorado Republican Party and the campaign manager for Republican Bob Schaefer for U.S. Senate, who's been pro-life and pro-life begins at fertilization and conception for his whole career until now. Until now, with the influence of his campaign manager, his handler, Dick Wadhams, saying, you stay away from that personhood amendment. That's a tragedy. You honor God. You stand up for what's right. You do right and risk the consequences. We need leaders. We don't need cowards running our political parties. Hey, we're out of time. Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada. What a great school. Maranatha, pre-K through 12. And our website is KGOV.com.